Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Today's guest is Dr. Lee Cowden. Dr. Cowden is the chairman of the Scientific Advisor Board and professor of the Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine of Panama since 2008. He's a USA board certified cardiologist and internist who is internationally known for his knowledge and skill in practicing and teaching integrative medicine. He has co-authored 6 books, the last 3 in 2014, Create a Toxin-Free Body and Home Starting Today, Foods That Fit a Unique You, Bioenergetic Tools for Wellness to Heal from Fatigue, Pain, Insomnia, Depression, Anxiety. He's contributed to several other books and publications and has pioneered successful integrative treatments for cancer, autism, Lyme disease, atherosclerosis, cardiomyopathy, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and many other illnesses. It's such an honor to have you on the show today, Dr. Cowden. And what I'm really curious about, you have researched and helped, I don't know, thousands and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people dealing with Lyme, especially with your Cowden protocol. How did you come about this protocol and what drove you to creating it?
A friend of mine, a naturopath, had a grandson who had been perfectly healthy, an A student, an avid athlete, and he became gravely ill. And she went to several doctors with him and finally ended up with a Lyme literate physician who said he has Lyme disease. The Lyme literate physician started him on antibiotics. He got progressively worse rather than better. And she came to seek me out to see if I had any other ideas. And so I said, well, have you tried Peruvian cat's claw? And she said, no. I said, well, let's see if it energetically tests well. So I tested it. It tested well. And so I said, I think I would stop the antibiotics to start this. And so, you know, she and her grandson left me, and I they took the bottle of Cemento, Peruvian cat's claw, with them. And I later learned that the boy went on the Peruvian cat's claw himself without asking his parents, without asking the doctor, without asking anybody. He just took it upon himself because he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he was completely well in a couple of months' time. And he told his grandmother what he had done, and she started trying some of this on some of the patients that she had access to, and found that it worked well for them as well. She was using, you know, other drainage remedies and herbals and whatnot as well. But anyway, the result of all of that was that she asked me to do a pilot study with her in a controlled fashion in Dallas. And we did that in 2002. And we had 28 patients, 14 pairs of patients that were divided into 2 groups. One was the natural treatment group, and the other was the allopathic treatment group. And at 10 weeks' time, we had a 70% improvement in our control in our treatment group, and only about a 5% improvement in the control group that was treated with allopathic drugs. And by the 18th week, there was about a 90% improvement in our treatment group, and still only about a 5% improvement in the other group. So we knew, you know, for a fact that we could make a difference. And you know, it was a variety of products that we used in conjunction with each other. And after the study was finished, I was asked to, you know, just write up a little finding to make available to the company that had provided the products. And they said, is it okay if we publish this on the Ecuadorian website? Our distributor in Ecuador would like to publish it on their website. I said, yeah, that's fine. So before I knew it, I was getting phone calls from all over the world, people wanting to come get treated for Lyme disease that had failed antibiotic therapy. And so I just, you know, went from there. And before I knew it, I had, you know, more Lyme patients than any other types of patients.
Yeah, so it just kind of blew up. I mean, you just see how desperate people are and how many people are affected by this disease. Can you tell the listeners a little bit, what is Lyme and what is it caused by, and what kind of symptoms does a person deal with when they're dealing with Lyme?
Yeah, well, Lyme is thought to be caused primarily by Borrelia. In the United States, Borrelia burgdorferi specifically. But Borrelia is a spiral-shaped bacteria. It's a cousin to the spiral-shaped bacteria that causes syphilis. So it can cause, Borrelia is called the second great imitator. The syphilis is called the first great imitator because it can imitate almost any disease process that you can imagine. Skin diseases, diseases of the heart, of the nervous system, of the gastrointestinal system, etc. And, you know, almost any symptom is possible. Some patients have psychoses, and some patients have depression. Some patients have, you know, cardiac arrhythmias, you know, chest pain, you know, on and on. So that makes it challenging for practitioners to be able to diagnose it because it masquerades as so many different illnesses. If you go to the Ecuadorian website that I was mentioning, nutramedics.ec, nutramedix.ec, you can find in the science library an article where almost 400 conditions that mimic Lyme disease or vice versa. So, and if you click on any one of those, it takes you to the peer-reviewed article in the literature that backs that up. And so it's a challenging condition because it's so diverse, but it's more challenging because most people that have borreliosis also have other co-infections that got into the body at the same time. And that includes Bartonella, Babesia, Ehrlichia, Coxiella, Mycoplasma, etc. And those each cause a variety of symptoms. So, you know, a lot of people think that they cannot have Lyme disease unless they had a tick bite, and they cannot have Lyme disease unless they had a bullseye rash. But we know that at least 30 or 40% of the population that have Lyme disease had neither, and it may be higher than that. So that's also a problem for the doctors because they think that you can only have Lyme disease if you have the bullseye rash and had a known tick bite. But we know that, you know, mosquitoes and other biting insects can transmit Lyme disease, and you don't have to get the rash.
So you have the tick bites, which is common, and I know a lot of doctors say, well, if you don't live on the East Coast, you know, the Lyme doesn't exist, which I've, you know, from my understanding, that's completely false. I mean, Lyme seems to be ubiquitous. I mean, seems to be pretty much anywhere that it exists now. And
right.
And so you mentioned tick bites, you mentioned mosquitoes. Are there other ways to also transmission take place?
It appears pretty likely that the borreliosis and co-infections are transmitted also by sexual intercourse, by kissing, by blood transfusions, by transmission from the mom through the placenta into the baby developing in her uterus. So, you know, there's a variety of ways that people can end up with a disease. Obviously, if you get the illness from a transplacental transfer or by sexual intercourse or by kissing, you're not going to get a bullseye rash. It's only when you get it through a bite of a tick or an insect. So, you know, it becomes challenging to diagnose and challenging to treat. We know that a lot of patients that have had a full course of antibiotic therapy, according to the Infectious Disease Society of America, IDSA, that a lot of those patients are still infected and still have positive PCR blood tests, positive culturability from their blood, but, you know, they've already had a full course of antibiotics. So what do you do about those patients? That's where the Cowden Support Program can come in. You know, it's an all-natural herbal program that can help to bring down the inflammatory symptoms and resolve some of the microbes in the body, pull out the toxins in the body that create the environment to grow the bugs in the first place, and recover their health. When we did a pilot study in New York State back in 2006 and 7, we had over 100 patients that went on to the Cowden Support Program for treating Lyme disease, all-natural program, that had failed antibiotic therapy, and 70% of those patients were markedly improved in 6 months' time. When we did another pilot study over in Germany with a smaller number of patients, we found that 80% of those patients were markedly improved in 6 to 9 months' time. So we know that even if antibiotics have failed, we can still make an improvement in at least 80% of the population.
That's amazing. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dr. Lee Cowden on HealthMade Radio. Welcome back to HealthMade Radio. I'm Dr. Michael Karlfeldt. I'm here with Dr. Lee Cowden, and we are discussing a serious issue that is pointing to being one strong cause behind a lot of the chronic conditions that we're dealing with, especially things where we can't find solutions medically, and that is Lyme disease. So you were talking a little bit about not only about going after the pathogen, the Lyme bug in itself, but creating an environment that does not feed the pathogen. So how, talking about detoxification, how do you go about? I mean, what are some of the strategies that you use there?
Well, in the Cowden Support Program are a variety of products that are designed purely for the purpose of lowering the toxic load in the body. They don't have any antimicrobial effect. For example, in the program is Berber and Pinella. Berber helps to get the toxins out of the liver, gallbladder, kidneys, lymphatic system, and ground matrix. The Pinella helps to get the toxins out of the brain, the spinal cord, and the peripheral nerves. And another product that's designed to get toxins out is Sparga. Sparga helps to get the sulfa drug residual out of the body. A lot of people say, well, I've never taken a sulfa drug in my life. Well, if you've ever showered or bathed in the United States, you've got sulfa drugs in your body because it's in the city water. And that was proven by the Environmental Protection Agency back in 2008. So We're all getting doused with chemicals all the time, whether it's pesticides and herbicides in the air or in the foods that we eat. We're all getting, you know, chemicals from the house that we live in, from the benzene and xylene and toluene that's in the paint that's outgassing from the walls that have been painted, or from the formaldehyde from the carpet padding, or from the particle board furniture, et cetera. So we're all being loaded all the time with toxins. And we need ways to get those out. I really like infrared sauna. It's one of my favorite ways to get toxins out. And, you know, people that can tolerate that, I encourage them to do that to get toxins out on a regular basis. If they do the herbal products along with that, then they get more toxins out than if they just use the infrared sauna alone.
And Lyme, you mentioned that it's a great imitator. So I know a lot of the neurological conditions like MS and Parkinson's and pain syndromes, fibromyalgia, ADD, ADHD, diabetes, autism. You know, all of these can then have Lyme as a driving factor. At what point in your journey towards finding health and trying to battle whatever symptoms you're dealing with, should you start looking for Lyme?
Very near the beginning, because very often many of the conditions that you described are caused primarily by the Lyme disease, by the Borrelia and the co-infection. And if you don't look early, then you're spinning your wheels for quite some time before you finally do look. Now, the problem with looking is that the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, says that we should all do an ELISA test, which is, an antibody test, and see, what we see from that. And then if that's positive, then do a Western blot test, which is another type of antibody test. And if both of those are positive, then you say, okay, well, you've got Lyme disease. But if the first one's negative, then you're supposed to not even do the second test. Well, the ELISA test is falsely negative in 30 to 40% of the cases. So that means if the doctor is following the Center for Disease Control guidelines, that they're missing 30 to 40% of the cases. Dr. William Harvey was a neurologist down in Houston, Texas, and he developed ALS. And he was astute enough to think about doing a blood test on himself for Borrelia and found that it was positive. So he treated himself with antibiotics for several months, and ALS just went away. And he thought, my goodness, after he started studying, he learned that it caused lots of different symptoms, lots of different conditions. So he had 450 patients in his practice that were chronically ill and that he had not been able to help significantly. So he did a blood test for Borrelia on all of those. And about, I think he said initially 20% of them were positive on the first blood test. So he did a second blood test on those that were negative on the first blood test, and a large percentage of those were positive. And he did a third blood test on the ones that were negative, and the fourth blood test. In the course of 1 year, almost all 450 patients turned up with Lyme disease. So it just shows you how unreliable the blood test is, because some of them had to have four or five blood tests before it finally showed up.
And the test that is being used then is an antibody test. And you mentioned that they're not that reliable. And from my understanding, Lyme disease or Borrelia attacks the immune system. And that's one of the impact that it has, is actually going after the antibodies that you measure to see whether it exists or not, which means that the immune system would not be able to produce the antibodies so that you can then identify the existence of the Borrelia in the blood. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, you are correct about that. And then the other factor is the fact that Borrelia is primarily an intracellular microbe, so it acts just like a corkscrew to quickly go inside of a cell. And inside of the cell, it grows and divides and multiplies until it finally damages the cell so much that the cell ruptures, and then the many copies of the Borrelia that are inside that cell quickly find another cell to corkscrew into, just like the first one. And so because antibodies are only developed through the things that are in the, you know, outside the cells in the bloodstream, that's why you don't have very many antibodies oftentimes to the Borrelia, because it's mostly intracellular.
So the blood test then is a very inefficient way then to measure whether you have Lyme disease or not. What would be some of the best ways, in your view, to identify Borrelia?
Well, when Dr. Lita Matman was alive, she developed a culture media that was able to grow Borrelia. Borrelia is hard to grow in culture outside the body, but she developed a media that would grow it. And just to prove the point, she took 41 patients that had multiple sclerosis and collected the cerebrospinal fluid from those and did standard culture of the cerebrospinal fluid through a standard lab, and all of them were negative. And then she did her culture with her special culture media, and 38 out of the 41 grew Borrelia. So, you know, that's an excellent tool. Now, there's a lab that started trying to do that culture technique, and the FDA came in and shut them down. Okay, so what was that about?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know exactly, but it sounds pretty dark to me. I think that the best test that exists right now for detecting Borrelia is a PCR test, polymerase chain reaction test, on the urine through the DNA Connections Laboratory in Colorado Springs after a patient is treated with either a total body ultrasound or a vibratory plate for several minutes. When you use the ultrasound or the vibratory plate, you shake loose the Borrelia from some of the cells to the point where some of it ends up in the urine, and then when they do the DNA testing on the urine, it shows up the Borrelia. Dr. Klinghart and Ruggieri developed that technique and published it in the peer-reviewed literature about a year ago. And so people can go, you know, look up Klinghart and Ruggieri's protocol.
And how would that compare? You also have a blood test, I know, from Germany, Armin Labs. How would they compare with each other?
Armin Schwarzbach has a good test in Germany, better than the tests that are available in the United States, because the United States government keeps limiting labs about their testing for Borrelia. I think that the if it's done correctly, the PCR test is probably a better test for Borrelia than the test that that Armin does.
Wonderful. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to HealthMate Radio. I am here with Dr. Lee Cowden. Welcome back to HealthMate Radio. I'm Dr. Mike Karlfeldt. I'm here with Dr. Lee Cowden, the creator of the Cowden protocol designed to eradicate Lyme for people that is dealing with chronic issues and have Lyme as a driving factor. So, but let's say then an individual, they find out that they have Lyme, and what are you've been inferring then that the allopathic way to treat Lyme is then using antibiotics, and how effective are antibiotics with Lyme?
Well, there's pretty good evidence that the antibiotic therapy will fail in at least 30% of the cases. Maybe higher than that. In my experience, it's higher than that when you do energetic testing. But, you know, if the patient's had Lyme disease less than 4 weeks, then antibiotic therapy often will work because the Borrelia is not fully entrenched inside the cells throughout the body. But after 6 weeks, you know, the antibiotic therapy, in my opinion, probably is able to resolve much less than half of the cases. And the only way that it does resolve the cases is if you do many rounds of the antibiotic therapy with a what we call a pulsing fashion. Dr. Buriscano figured out that was critical with pharmaceutical treatment of Borrelia. He had to do several days on and a few days off, and several days on again, a few days off, and several days on again, and continuing to rotate the different types of antibiotics, because these bugs are smart. They develop resistance pretty easily. So if you don't keep rotating the types of antibiotics, then you never succeed. The Cowden Support Program is a continuous antimicrobial treatment from day 15 through day 78, or day 18 through 78. But then after day 78, then there's 12 and a half days on and 1.5 day off each two-week period. And the day and a half off is just as important or more important than the 12 and a half days on, because it's during those days that the hiding forms of the Borrelia come out of hiding. The what they call the granular forms or the round body forms or the biofilm forms come out of hiding, and then you pound them again with another round of the different type of antimicrobial herbal.
And you're mentioning that there are different forms of the of Borrelia. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? You're taking, you had the spirochete in the south, and then what are some of the forms?
Dr. Eva Sapi has done a lot of research on the different forms of Borrelia. She's at the University of New Haven, Connecticut, and she's actually tested the different herbals in the Cowden Support Program and also some antibiotics against the Borrelia, the different forms of Borrelia in vitro, you know, in a test tube rather than in the body. And she found that doxycycline is pretty good at getting rid of the spirochetal form. That's the spiral-shaped bacterial form that looks like treponema or syphilis, but is very ineffective in getting rid of the round body form. That's a very tiny round or spherical shaped form. And it's very ineffective in penetrating the biofilm. The biofilm is a snot-like substance that the bugs exude and covers them over and prevents them from being penetrated by antimicrobial agents and also prevents them from being eaten by white blood cells. So the spirochetiform is easy to kill with doxycycline and certain other pharmaceutical antibiotics, but those antibiotics are not effective against the round body form or the biofilm form. On the other hand, the herbals that are in the Cowden Support Program are all actually quite effective against the spirochetiform, the round body form, and the biofilm form. The cemento, which is the Peruvian cat's claw, and the stevia, which is a special extract of stevia, the sweet leaf, they call it in South America, is quite effective in vitro against the round body form and the biofilm form, as well as the spirochetal form.
And it's not the just normal stevia that we get in the supermarket. This is a little different forms.
Yeah, right? She tested. I think three other brands of stevia from other companies and found that they didn't work nearly as well as the Nutramatic stevia for getting rid of the Borrelia in different forms.
And what's the difference, do you think?
Well, there's a variety of things. One is the source of the raw material. A lot of stevias that are on the market are grown in some kind of agricultural confine with pesticides and herbicides being used. And the other thing is that a lot of the stevias that are on the market are extracted with what I would call inferior extraction methods and inferior extraction chemicals. The Nutramatic stevia is extracted with one of the purest forms of ethanol that I've ever encountered. And then the other thing is that most of the Nutramax products are quantum imprinted, so they have energy infused into the product after it's ready to be bottled, and that infusion makes the product act like a homeopathic in addition to being an herbal.
That's powerful. So somebody then dealing kind of repeat what you've been saying. Somebody that has been diagnosed with Lyme, if it's something that they just had the bullseye rash, that means, yes, go ahead with antibiotics. If it's something that they've been dealing with chronically for many years and they're starting to suspect, then maybe it's Lyme, then antibiotics would not be that good of a treatment, just because it will only impact the free-floating spirochetes. It won't impact on the spirochetes that have bared themselves into the cells, into tissue, nor will it impact the biofilm, the cystic forms, and the other type of forms of the of Borrelia.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then the herbal ones, like in your protocol, would then be much better, because it will then impact on the biofilms. It will work on the cyst in addition to the spirochetes, and then at the same time it will work on clearing out the tissue, so you're getting rid of the feeding material for the Lyme, so that you, at the same time as you're killing it, you're also starving it.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of the antibiotics are given in an oral capsule or tablet. If it's in a tablet, then that antibiotic basically rolls down through your gut, killing most of the friendly bacteria in your gut before it finally gets absorbed. And once the friendly bacteria in the gut are killed, then what usually grows back in place of those friendly bacteria are pathological fungal forms or protozoal parasites in place of the bacteria. We know that the immune system is... that about 70% of the effectiveness of the immune system comes from the friendly bacteria that grow in our gut. So if you kill off those friendly bacteria, you're also killing off your immune system. You talked about earlier the fact that Borrelia and even Bartonella can cause a suppression of the immune system. And if you have suppression of the immune system from that and also from the fungus that's growing in the gut, then you have a double problem.
Absolutely. And In addition to all these parasites and fungus that are then growing in the gut, they are then producing chemicals, byproducts just from their metabolic living, which will then suppress the immune system and also create an environment that's more friendly for Borrelia to thrive in as well.
Exactly.
So how do you address, because you were talking then about the Borrelia, and then we have all these other co-infections as well. How do you know to just address a Borrelia, and then also whether you should go after a number of these co-infections, like you mentioned, Bartonella, Ehrlichia, Babesia, and the list is quite large, if I understand right.
Okay. Yeah, that's the problem with pharmaceutical antibiotics, and that's the beauty of a natural antimicrobial program. Because the pharmaceutical antibiotics, you have to have exactly the right pharmaceutical to get rid of the bug that you're dealing with. And in many cases, you're not dealing with a single species of bug. You're dealing with maybe six or eight different species of bugs that you're trying to get rid of. These herbal antimicrobials, every one of them has at least three or four different antimicrobial substances in each herb. And some of these are combinations of three or four different herbs in one product. So you're talking about, 9 to 12 different antimicrobial agents in each herb or herbal combination. So it becomes very easy to eliminate a lot of microbes of different species all at one time instead of trying to knock off one species at a time with pharmaceutical antibiotics.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to HealthMade Radio. I'm Dr. Michael Karlfeldt. I'm here with Dr. Lee Cowden. Welcome back to HealthMade Radio. I am here with Dr. Lee Cowden. I'm Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and we're discussing the Cowden Support Protocol in regards to Lyme and how effective that is compared to then the normal allopathic pathway. So, yeah, and from my understanding, we're talking about the different herbal compounds versus the antibiotic. And, the antibiotic, from what I understand, like you were mentioning, is that you're just hitting one target, and that's it. And then the pathogen or the bug outsmarts it because it recognizes I'm getting hit from this angle, so now I'm just going to morph and change a little bit. And now I'm antibiotic resistant versus then using an herbal compound, which is extremely complex. It's an extremely complex chemical versus the antibiotic. And also it has evolved over time with all these pathogens, which means that it has gained all this intelligence in regards to how to coexist and protect itself from these pathogens. And us ingesting that, we gain that knowledge, that information on how to kill them off. Am I correct there?
Yes, you have a much greater spectrum of action from the natural herbals by far than you do from the pharmaceuticals. And, I think it's craziness for man to think that they can do a better job at creating something than nature has.
Yeah, nature's had thousands and thousands of years to create it, and here we think we can do a better job in a year or so.
Yeah.
So other therapies that exist, you have intravenous, like ozone, artisanate, you have intravenous laser light therapies, you have vitamin C, there's a lot of other things out there. How effective are they and how useful are they to add to the herbal compounds?
Yes, I'm a believer in using oxidative therapies like ozone, especially if the herbal program is not sufficient to eliminate the microbes that you're trying to eliminate. A lot of people think that Lyme disease is just is an excess of microbes, and all you got to do is murder enough microbes, and then you'll be well. But it really isn't so. It's much more complex than that, and it's the man-made toxins and the biotoxins that have built up in the body, creating an environment to make it easy for the microbes to regrow. I don't believe there's any therapy that you can use that will get rid of 100% of every microbe in the body that is creating disease. I think what happens is you take a treatment that lowers the load of the microbes down to the point where the immune system can take care of the rest. As long as the immune system is healthy, then the rest of them are kept in check. If a patient goes through a major stress, whether that's an emotional stress or a physical stress, a surgical procedure, a motor vehicle accident, the death of a loved one, loss of a job, whatever, then those stresses suppress the immune system because they cause an increase in the cortisol, and the cortisol suppresses the immune system. And then when the immune system is suppressed, the bugs that haven't been 100% eliminated grow back fairly quickly, and now you got another crop. So that's why I'm not a huge believer in the pharmaceutical approach, because you're again messing up the gut flora, which messes up the immune system. But you're also thinking, well, if I just murder enough bugs, I'll be fine. Well, the antibiotics don't do anything at all for the toxic load that creates the environment that makes it easy for the bugs to grow in the first place. That's why, in my opinion, you need a broader program. I like the idea of using artemisinin or artesanate in patients that have Babesia that's not responding. And, you know, there's other products that sometimes are added in from the Nutramax line, like Kena or Chacopiedra, or a couple that are not part of the regular program, but can be added in whenever something else is helpful or necessary.
Wonderful. And that was an interesting point, that is, the goal is not really to eradicate everything. I mean, because that's a mindset. Yeah, you know, just kill them all, get rid of them. But the whole idea is then to create an environment that's conducive to health, you know, so that you wake up the immune system enough, and also create an environment that's clean and strong enough to be able to keep these bugs at check, or create like a homeostasis within the body where we can coexist with these bugs, and we are still on top, so to say.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you use pharmaceutical antibiotics, you know, you're killing bugs, you're piling up the carcasses of those dead bugs in the tissues, you're creating a greater degree of toxicity that creates an environment that makes it easier for bugs to regrow. So, you know, most doctors that are bent and determined on using pharmaceutical antibiotics to treat Lyme should at least use some of the detox herbals that are in the Nutramax Council Support Program, so that they can lower that load of bug carcasses and other toxins.
And also, you mentioned a little bit about emotional stress. I mean, does traumas and belief systems, emotional factors, do they play a picture in whether a person is more likely to develop Lyme disease from the existence of Borrelia within the individual?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We know that patients that get bitten by a tick or a mosquito or whatever are more likely to have full-blown Lyme disease develop if they had an emotional conflict of separation at the time of the bite. And so, you know, it's important, I think, for us to continually be working on our emotions so that we're not a setup for developing chronic disease. The Chinese figured a lot of that out 3,000 years ago, that, you know, if you have unresolved anger, frustration, you're a setup for developing disease in your liver and gallbladder. If you have unresolved fear, then you're going to have an increased risk of developing a disease in your kidney, adrenals, uterus, ovaries, fallopian tubes, prostate, testes. And if you have a unresolved sadness, it's going to show up in your colon or in your pancreas, etc.
So it almost looked like when you're dealing with Lyme, then, that you need to have a quite comprehensive protocol. I mean, we're so used as Americans that, you know, this disease is pill, and that should just take care of it. But that we know that that's just symptom management. In reality, we need to then create an environment, you know, that is emotionally healthy, and then also reduce on the toxic load, and boost the immune system and reduce the load of the pathogens at the same time.
Yeah, you want to take a multi-pronged approach. Don't just murder a bunch of bugs, but try to reduce the microbial load, reduce the toxic load, physical toxic load, right? Reduce the emotional toxic load. Make sure that you put into the body enough of the things that are necessary to rebuild the body, whether that's good foods or supplemental nutrients or water or air, you know, do some physical activity, some stretching. All those things help to rebuild the body. And, you know, if you can get the body rebuilt to the point where it's more resilient, more resistant, then you don't have to worry so much about the bugs coming back.
And another technique that you use quite a bit also is I believe it's called laser energetic detox, detoxification, where you right. use homeopathic vials and you piggyback that information on a laser beam. How does that work, and how effective is that in regards to things like Lyme or other chronic diseases?
Well, it's quite effective. It's a very powerful technique, so it's probably something that most people would be wiser to seek out a practitioner that's knowledgeable about that, so the practitioner can show them how to do that safely and properly, so they don't develop seizures, anaphylactic shock reactions, heart attacks, asthmatic attacks, et cetera. Because in the early days, when we were first learning how to do the laser detox, we were triggering some of those types of reactions. Because there's so many toxins moving so fast, it moves toxins out at least 20 times faster than the next closest competitive technique that I've discovered so far. And so it's powerful, but it's and very effective, but also potentially dangerous if it's not used properly.
So that's quite incredible. You're saying that it can actually move toxins 20 times faster than other therapies that you've seen, just doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. One of the early cases with a patient with peripheral neuropathy, pins and needles below the knees, couldn't feel anything else. He gave a history of washing carburetor parts and a barrel of gasoline with his bare hands for several months before these symptoms started. But we verified that gasoline was the cause of the neuropathy, made up a homeopathic vial of gasoline, put it in front of a laser, put the patient and the technician in a dark room to give the treatment. And the technician was only able to stay in there about a minute before she came out saying, the room reeks of gasoline. And then, a few seconds later, the patient came out and said, you really need to get an exhaust fan in there. And so when I stuck my head in the room, the gasoline was so strong we had to keep the room closed off the rest of the day because we didn't have a window or an exhaust fan in there. So you're moving toxins out very quickly with using a quantum physical energetic technique.
And all it is, it's a homeopathic vial that where the laser beam is shining through that homeopathic vial, hitting the individual, and that triggers that detoxification.
That's correct.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. I know there's been talk in regards to retroviruses being a big issue as well that needs to be addressed, and you have things like mold and parasites. I mean, do they become part of the protocol as well?
Well, yeah, a lot of the herbal antimicrobials have antifungal effects. So if the patient's no longer in a mold infested building, then the herbal products will help to eliminate a lot of the mold and fungus that's in their gut or in their paranasal sinuses. The program also has a couple of pretty good antiviral agents that will help to lower the load of viruses in the body, including retroviruses. And retroviruses are a pretty big deal because they suppress the immune system and predispose to other infectious conditions.
Right. Well, I so appreciate you coming on the show and for all the education that you're doing throughout the world, educating people about the impact of Lyme and what you can do naturally in order to be able to combat it. I thank you so much, Dr. Cowden. I truly appreciate it.
Yes, yeah, thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.